Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. Headline-rich day, of course, the terrorist attack in London, UK. Wow, what a surprise that was. And to bring in And to talk about the Day of Islam, among other things, the threat of Islam, I can think of no better person than Dr. Paul Williams. He's a good friend of the program, good friend of mine, and he's an author. He's an extraordinary man, extraordinary, so intelligent about the threat posed by this death cult of Islam. And how dare... I'm going to open this up with saying this. How dare any of these mind-numbed, mindless, idiotic, moronic individuals out there, how dare any of these people attempt to dignify the cult that is Islam as a religion, as it is shown on, well, you get into a car, you mow down a bunch of people, you kill a cop, you start... I mean, seriously. What is wrong with people where they don't quite understand that these are the basic tenets of Islam? And if that is any... I mean, that's the way it is. And here to explain the way it is Dr. Williams. But I am angry. I'm angry at the people who aren't getting this. Their own words indict them. Their own words, the words of their holy book, indict them. And I'm not being racist or xenophobic or homophobic or whatever phobic, Islamophobic. I'm not. Read the book. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. Understand what they're doing. What we're witnessing here is a war. It's a war. And frankly, I'm angry that we have allowed it to get this far. And if that's hate speech, is that hate speech really? Is telling the truth hate speech? Yep. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you feel that way. You, the ones who are saying, well, you can't say that because you might offend the sensibilities of people. But you know what? It's about time we have a conversation, an adult conversation in this country. It's about time we talk plain about the threat that we face. All right. Our guest, Dr. Paul Williams, he's been under threat. They want to kill him. They want to kill me. They want to kill our families. We've been told this. Yet, on the other side, we've been told, wait, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, it's okay. You see, it's a religion of peace. Well, keep thinking that. As the Muslims invade your town and take your women and breed like rabbits on LSD. I don't know. Joe, let's bring on our guest.
We don't have Paul on yet. All right. About this terrorist attack in London, there's a few interesting points I want to make sure we hit on. I was hoping that the main article on Drudge and the linking to the Daily Mail had changed some of the initial reports, they were reporting that a middle-aged Asian man with a knife carried out these attacks. But if you look at the pictures, it's a bald guy with a huge beard. The guy's Muslim. He's Muslim. But two or three times, just in the beginning part of the article, they call the guy Asian. Now, what we know about this attack is that a police officer named Keith Palmer was stabbed to death. He was a police officer for 15 years. This man who carried out the terrorist attack took a vehicle, ran over several people on the bridge before smashing the car into the Parliament building, getting out, stabbing the police officer, and attempting to storm the Parliament, apparently, and was shot dead by an officer who did have a gun. Now, I don't know, I guess most police officers in the UK don't have guns. For whatever reason.
That's real smart, isn't it?
But, the name of the attacker, who was this attacker? There's been a few names that have come out. And one of the names apparently was wrong. They said, no, this wasn't the guy. He was in jail. It was a radical Islamic cleric. And they said, this can't be the guy. This guy's in jail. And not now. Apparently, there's 5 dead, over 40 injured in this attack. But
they gotta get their story straight. Apparently,
they say
right?
Hate preacher Abu Lazadin.
Don't even try.
Formerly known as Trevor Brooks, was falsely named as the attacker in early reports. So we're still waiting. There's confusion over the identity of the London terrorism suspect, and we're still waiting for a name.
Why are we even doing this? You know, let me ask you a question. If nothing is going to change, why are we even doing this? If no one cares, why do we even do this?
And the mayor of London finally came out and issued a statement, but refused to say anything about radical Islamic terrorism or Islamic terrorism. And from a tweet, I believe it was a tweet or a statement he put out in August of 2016, I'm going to paraphrase here, he said something along the line that Trump tweeted today, about today, saying how it was disgusting, but the London mayor came out and said, well, you live in a big city, you're going to have to expect terrorist attacks. So we'll have more on this.
Okay, you know why we have to expect terrorist attacks is because no one will identify the problem. Terror is a tactic. It's not a target. Terrorism is a tactic. It is not a target. There's no war on terrorism. We can't have a war on a tactic. Terrorism is a tactic. Say it with me now. Terrorism is a tactic, not a target. We are defending ourselves against Muslim terror. Now, Muslim terrorists are our target. And the Muslims are the ones that are attacking us. What are you going to do? Roll over and say, go ahead. And see, that's the problem. Many Christians, and sorry for having to... I see them over there, knobs and switches and because of the volume, and I apologize. But let me tell you something. You know, look. You know, if you're a Christian out there, and I'm serious about this, I am so sick and tired of the Christians who are not standing up for the truth or who are selling out. I'm so sick and I can say that because I'm a Christian. It's like my family, for example. If my child does something, if I'm a parent, my child does something with another group of people, I can talk about my child and say, look, you did something, you did wrong. Okay, so I figure it's part of the family. So me being a member of the Christian community, I feel somewhat of, I feel I have some leeway there. But see, I expect this from secular humanists, this kind of BS, crappy, mealy mouth behavior, and I expect that. But within the Christian community, we can win simply and solely on the numbers. We can win by getting ourselves together. Can we not? By putting up a fight, and by not allowing the tactic, or not allowing the war to be defined. Not allowing the war to be defined by people who want to tell us that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, because they don't. These coexist bumper stickers, rip them off the cars you see. There is no such a, there's no such thing as coexistence with people who want to kill you and kill us. And yes, you know, I can speak, I know from where I speak because I have had the death threats. Dr. Williams, who's coming on, has had the death threats. Steve Quayle has had the death threats. We have had law enforcement officers in our homes saying, you better bulk up your security. We're not going to help you. And you better watch what you say, too. That's just that kind of friendly advice.
And before we go too far down this road, because I know Paul Williams will be on in momentarily, I want to make sure we hit this story, because this story has been overshadowed today by the terrorist attacks in London. I mean, rightfully so. But today, House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes declared that members of Donald Trump's transition team, including Trump himself, were under inadvertent surveillance following November's presidential election. And this has gotten the spin, and Greg Hunter's going to be on an hour.
Adam Schiff was a, just a, as far as I'm concerned, a spineless SOB when he was talking about, well, you know,
this clouds the investigation.
What kind of twisted linguistics show are we witnessing here with respect to this?
They have their own lexicon in the English language, and they're using, I mean, they, when you look at, I was reading part of a book on Amazon. I was going to order the book. And it's about communism and the languages that they use, the Marxist communists, and how they have different definitions for words like justice, for equality, and all these different things. But and this is part of it. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think a lot more is going to come out. By the way that Mr. Schiff, was backpedaling and trying to spin this.
Adam Schiff, to me, I'm get him on the phone. I'm going to talk to this piece of crap. Give me his phone number. Let's call him right now.
You know, one of the things that Nunez said was that this had nothing to do with the with Russians, and there was no connections between Trump and Russia. And then Schiff came out and said that this clouds the investigation into Russia, even though that Nunez already said that this had nothing to do with Russia. This had to do with FISA warrants surveilling other foreign leaders. And again, Greg Hunter is going to come on and talk about this in detail. As I spoke with him on the phone today, he was all fired up. He had a lot of great points.
I hope he is fired up, and I hope he rips every listener a new one. I really do. But let me ask you a question. When in the hell has it been okay, for the security apparatus to listen to everything we say, to record it, and just to file it away so when they need it. Okay, we have lost the civil liberties in this country. America is no longer the America of the 1950s, no longer. The globalists have taken over this country. Yes, I understand that. But you know what? I am not letting go without a fight. I am ready for a fight. I'm itching for a fight. Bring it. Let's bring it on. Let's get it over with, because I don't want my kids and my grandkids to fight this fight. Our generation let it happen. Let our generation put this to bed. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Okay? I'm serious about this. And Joe, I'm sorry. You know, I am so ticked off over the mealy mouth Christian, these Christians, these self-righteous Christians who fail to back up people like Josh Tully, you heard yesterday, who failed to back up people like anybody, everybody. We can, if you would stop your whining and complaining and picking out the nits out of other people's eyes and get your act together, and this is another thing too. Let me tell you something else while I'm at it. We, the independent media, and this is a call to everyone in the independent media right now. We're calling a summit. We had mob guys on and mob fighters on. There was a meeting in Appalachia in 1957 of all the mob families. You remember that? Probably not. History isn't taught anymore. A lot of things were settled, I'll tell you, that meeting, a lot of things were settled from that meeting. Well, that's what we're going to have, an Appalachian meeting. Go ahead and look it up on not on Wikipedia, that piece of garbage, but on a non-fake news site.
Are you saying you're criminals and are going to have a criminal meeting to further
no,
the criminal
No, we are
going to,
we, the independent media, look, look, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I know. Go, come on. The independent media right now, there are numerous people I have talked to over the course of the last several days in the independent media. I'm talking huge names everyone knows. And we're going to come out swinging. All right. We're going to come out swinging. We are going to band together and we are going to be a formidable force. So when they do take this video down, which I, trust me, this is going to go away. There are going to be five more. Okay. There are going to be five more in its place. So. But I got off kind of on the tangent. You know, London, it's coming to the United States. It is here in the United States. If again to the Christians, because listen to me. If you are a Christian, if you identify yourself as a Christian, okay, you've got a couple of choices to make. You can say, well, you know, I'm going to retreat to my prayer closet. Let me pray about this. I am not, please understand me when I say this, I am not. We need that. We need the prayer warriors. We need the people. We need prayer. We need to do this prayerfully, okay? Our fight needs to be prayerfully considered. However, we must not use Christianity as an excuse not to respond. The other thing, we must not react, but respond. We don't react. Reacting is a knee-jerk thing. It's never good to react. We respond. Prayerfully responding with a righteous, godlike indignation. That's what we've got to do. But see, we as Christians can battle this. We can win on the numbers. And as I said before, okay, I speak from a position of experience. Right now, Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani, the head of the Islamic compounds, they used to be a terrorist organization. He's got a fatwa against me. And Paul Williams, by the way, Dr. Paul Williams, I, as I told you before, had the FBI in my home saying, you ought not to be poking that bear. Oh, and by the way, yeah, you know, increase the security on your family. Oh, believe me, we did. We have. But see, it takes people like Dr. Paul Williams, the people who know, the people who understand the threat, the people who have investigated the threat, the people who have written about the threat, the people who have been put and scorned by the mainstream media, and it takes people like him and hopefully us to define the threat and to stand up to it and say, you know what, not us. And we're not going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Not us, not anymore. We're done. Terrorism is not a target, it is a tactic, and terrorism, it's not just terrorism, it's Islamic terrorism. We did not draw first blood, they did. But we will respond in kind. Dr. Paul Williams, welcome to the program.
Like no place I'd rather be, and something that your listeners should be aware of. Most people, and I've traveled around with them, Pamela Geller and Frank Gaffney, and you get the list is long. They say they're counterterrorism experts, that they're experts on this, on radicalists. They have never met a terrorist. But let me tell you something. Doug Hagmann has met many terrorists, and I have followed his lead in meeting the terrorist. But Doug Hagmann, he could say, well, I'm just going to report or I'm going to write. No. He has been there. He has seen them. He has photographed them. And everybody else.
We lost Paul.
We'll get him back.
But I'll tell you, just to fill in the blanks, Joe and I were in Boston. We looked in the eyes of a soulless creature, a Muslim, a soulless Muslim, who is identified as John Doe. Okay, the John Doe from the Oklahoma City bombing. We looked into the soulless black eyes of this man. And I could, if I wish I could tell you the story of what happened. Do we still have the video? Of course we have the video. But if I could tell you the story of what happened after. See, here's what happened. We did surveillance. We looked in that man's eyes. We understood. We uncovered things. Do you realize, and I, because there's no names here, you realize that, you know what he did? He checked himself into a psychiatric center 3 days later. Actually, we weren't even out of, Boston. We didn't even reach the city limits. And he checked himself into Boston. But again, Dr. Paul Williams is the man that, you know, he says, I looked in terrorist eyes. This guy, Dr. Paul Williams, is looking into the eyes of terrorists. Is he back?
Yeah, I'm back. See, that's what happens when you talk to Doug Hagman, when you people don't want us to talk, Doug. So this is one of the boogeymen breaking us up.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how the electronics just suddenly fail when...
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a coincidence, though, right, brother?
I mean, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I just want you to know, Doug, that if you go up to Islamabad, and I was there just a couple, well, right before the snowfall, the big snowfall that we got here last week, and it's still very much in operation. What's happening up there, and you'd be interested in this because you're the first one to found it, is it's filled now with Pakistani women. The people who are trained there, as you know, by and large, they're African Americans who were converted to Islam in prison, and they're felons, and yet they come from Greenhaven, a lot of them, Greenhaven State Prison, and they end up at Islamabad where they're trained with weapons, and then they go to Pakistan, and from Pakistan they go to Afghanistan, and they come back to Pakistan, and they're transported back to the United States, but they come back with a couple wives, Doug. And they're all right there in Islamabad. It's like a nice little Pakistani community up there now.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
It doesn't surprise you. I know that. But another thing I wanted you to know regarding this is regarding Jelani and his company. There is a place called Red House, Virginia. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there.
Oh yeah.
It's down by Appomattox. And when we were there, there was an old Muslim woman sitting on a rock, and she said, "Oh, they're all gone. There's no men here. They're all gone. This place is empty." We said, "Well, you know, we're seeing houses here. You know, we're seeing cars." She said, "No, there we need the women work, and they're all the men left us. There's nobody here." So we were walking around the grounds. Now you get a kick out of this, Doug, because it was like an open field. This is Red House. It's a mountainous area, but big open fields. And we're walking behind a house, and there's an outhouse there. And suddenly, from the outhouse comes one Muslim, and then the second Muslim. They were coming out of there, dozens of them were coming out of there, coming out and coming out and coming out. It's just like at Islamabad, they have underground bunkers, and they surrounded us in about 2 or 3 minutes. And the only reason I got out of there, I said, "Well, we're writing a book on, you know, religious communities in the United States, and we just came back from a Benedictine monastery, and we figured we'd be remiss if we didn't start covering you people." And, you know, we just love Muslims, and we love Muslim communities. I think it's the only way we got out of there. But
how did you get out of there alive? I mean, without... by the way, folks, Dr. Paul Williams, The Day of Islam, it's required reading. You got to read that book. How did you get out of there unscathed?
We lose Paul again.
Paul? uh, All right. All right. Eric, the tech is working right now. Just hang on, folks. Islamburg is at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. And I'm sure Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani, that, syphilitic ridden, man in Lahore, Pakistan, the guy who, Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street Journal reporter, was on his way to see when he was kidnapped and then subsequently beheaded. I'm sure Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani, again, that syphilitic ridden, imam of the, of Islamburg, it's amazing to me, and I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because when Dr. Williams turned over hundreds of pages of documentation, of the goings on in Islamburg, the activities there, the activities in Red House, the activities all across the United States of the Muslims of the Americas, the Quranic Institute, the International Quranic, it's on the sign that I took a picture of. But you know, that's how they operate. But the fact is, underground storage units, their weapons. We saw the underground storage units at the time that we were there. We did not see any weapons. However, one of the previous camp members had said, "Oh yeah, that's where they store the weapons," and we do know reasonably that there are bodies buried on that property. And of course, it's interesting because they set up camp very close to infrastructure, very important parts of infrastructure. For example, they're close to the reservoir that feeds New York City, their water, the power lines. All of these places are very strategic, and we're working to get Dr. Paul Williams back. This is an amazing thing.
And thanks, Todd, and everybody else, and John, trying to get him back. Apparently, they're unable to connect at the moment. Maybe we got him back right now. Paul, you there?
Paul?
Doug, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
This has never happened to me, not this violently.
Yeah, yeah, well, welcome to the Hagman Report. Yeah, it's an epidemic with us sometimes, and seriously, it especially on this topic. Dr. Williams, we're being shadow banned all across the social networking. Our numbers showed negative numbers for video feeds, which is just impossible, of course. And electronics rarely work. At least not with the efficiency. So, you know, again, this is America 2017 post Obama.
That's the truth.
Look, I don't want to take your time, my brother. Islamburg, indeed. Red House, indeed. The Muslims of the Americas, Jelani's group. Are they coming back? I mean, and by the way, your book, The Day of Islam, required reading. In any other book that you have written, required reading for our audience. But take it from the top, brother. I mean,
Like I said, a lot of these places, they're still very much in operation. I was, thanks to you, I went through that. Through that chain, I told you I went to Brooklyn, New York, where Jelani came in the beginning. He was flown in, Doug, into Washington D.C. And I found this out. I went to Washington. I went to the Freedom of Information Act. I dug and dug.
And there it goes again.
And it's a party.
The way Todd describes it is that his phone is going. It sounds like his phone's just going dead. But obviously, his phone's not going dead if he continues to be able to use it. We will continue to get Paul back. That's the third time in 10 minutes now.
See, okay. While we have, we've got, and let me explain something to the audience. The only reason we're not going dead is the fine efforts of Eric the Tech and a lot of money that goes into making sure that our lines out of here are not only the fastest possible for the area, but also are insulated, and we've got redundancy built in the systems. So if one is hit, a second takes over. And if that is hit, a third takes over. All right, so so those people who support us, that's where the money goes. But Dr. Williams, there you go. Here we are.
Here we are.
All right. So
yeah, you're right. Welcome to America, 2017. This is what happens.
Okay, I just want to pick up because I don't want to lose you again. But so you went to New York City. You were on Atlantic Avenue at that bookstore at that mosque on Atlantic Avenue. I was there.
I've been there, the Farouk Mosque. Yes, at the Farouk Mosque, Doug. This is something that you'd be interested in, and only you could appreciate this. Since 1979, since the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, the Farouk Mosque, which is, as you know, probably number one or number two of, in a listing of the most radical places in the country, if not the world, the Farouk Mosque has been responsible for the assassination of Kahani, for the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
You know, let me ask you this. What is the level of FBI, and I'm being very specific with respect to the agency, I'll throw in the CIA, but government complicity with respect to allowing the Muslims of the Americas, the Jelani group, all of these groups to exist unmolested? What's their level of complicity? No, this is history. For those listening on Global Star, we're taking a pregnant pause for the moment, just to get Paul Williams back.
Turn off your mic quickly.
I'm gonna look like.
I just have one question. I'll ask you off air.
All right.
5 seconds. All right.
Could anyone read our lips?
No. Just a question that needed to be asked.
No.
But you don't, I mean, and Todd even says that he's never experienced anything like this before. Maybe Paul should go to a payphone and call in that way.
You know, we've actually had to communicate through burner phones, and this has happened before where we've communicated, especially when you talk about this particular topic, and the program is talked about in advance. I know Dr. Paul Williams is one of the foremost authorities on this. I mean, he's been in the trenches investigative wise. You know what? I'll tell you what. And I'm being serious about this. I might send out a crew, and bring him up here to the studio. And
why not?
I'm serious. I mean, I know he's not that far away, and either that or be, you know, or do something local. Paul, you there?
I'm back again, Doug.
All right, brother. Well.
this is a keeper, Doug.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to send you a burner phone so they can't. Well, let me ask you a question, Paul. What's the level of government complicity with allowing these agencies or these Muslim
total
groups?
Total. When we were first there, Doug, looking into these places, we were duped. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
We're here.
Okay, good. We were duped because Jelani came over on a CIA transport. He has been sponsored by the CIA. These places have been set up by the CIA. That's what I found out in Brooklyn. As a matter of fact, a lot of the operatives, his operatives, that came back, like Clement Hamilton L., these people, they all claim they're working with the CIA. And it's the same thing with Gulen's people. They really, and I know that Gulen, I know Jelani came here, there's no doubt about it, as a CIA operative. He worked trying to recruit people, African Americans from the inner city, primarily in Brooklyn, as a CIA operative to send them over to fight in the Soviet Afghan War. But God, what's interesting is when the war was over, he still was sponsored. He was sending people over to the Balkans. He was sending people over to fight with the Taliban. It's still going on. It's a CIA operation, and so is the Gulen compound up here in Pennsylvania. And like I said, the Farouk Mosque was receiving millions of dollars a year from the federal government. You're a private detective, par excellence. You could verify that in a second. They're receiving millions of dollars right now from U.S. taxpayers, the most radical mosque in the country. And so you mean to tell me there's not government complicity? It's all government complicity.
You know what really struck me is when right after you, we had kind of done almost concurrent operations, but we'll talk about the Muslims of the Americas and in the Islamberg Red House and such, and it was so interesting to see the FBI. Take a hands-off approach to all of this, and in fact, break bread with the people. Actually, have dinner or lunch with these people, and then you know to have. And I know this for a fact. And folks, listen to this, okay? The FBI in Binghamton, New York. Well, actually, it's a agency office out of Binghamton, but from New York City, had the lunch with the. With the Islamic terrorists in Islamberg, and sent the pictures basically to Dr. Paul Williams as an FU to Dr. Paul Williams.
They're great pictures, aren't they? Yeah. They told me they went there in honor of the Muslim Boy Scout troop up there.
Yeah. Which I still haven't found that. I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, but you've done some marvelous work with your investigations. Where do you think right now, Dr. Williams? I want to call you that out of respect, especially for people, members of the audience.
What should I call you then? Inspector Hagman.
If you
call me Paul, that's what I'm going to call
you. Okay. All right. Well, okay, Paul. What do you think is our most, out of all of the landscape here in America, we've got so many people listening to this broadcast. We saw what happened in London today. What's the biggest threat here? Can you summarize it, or is it kind of like spread out?
I think you and I both know what it's going to be. And Doug, it's so easy to do. It's going to be a radiological attack. I'm amazed this hasn't happened yet. All you need to do is get some cesium, americium, any radiological substance, and you can get it. You can get it from hospitals. You can get it from food processing plants. I mean, it's readily available. All you need to do is get some, just like a cesium, wrap it around a firecracker. You don't even need dynamite. Set it off in New York. Do you know what happens? You get one grain of that. One grain of that touches your skin. That's a bone sucker. You're gonna end up dead. Your guts are gonna turn into liquid. You're liquefied like Yevtushenko. And once you get that on a building, cesium, you can't scrape it off. You can't wash it off. There's no way. Do you know what you have to do? You have to take the stone or the wood or the bushes, anything that's there, and you have to take them to a dedicated landfill, and you can't even burn it. That's how bad a radiological attack would be. And it's so easy to perform. It's a miracle that hasn't happened yet. That's just not me. Anyone like William Fuller from Harvard's Belfer Center said the same thing. It's a miracle. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Then we'll have martial law. Then we'll have everything that this enemy that is created. And you can see all the alerts that we're having right now, especially, the people from Muslim countries coming in, they can't have cameras or laptops. You can see, like, the levels going higher and higher and higher. We're just getting set up for that. It's going to happen.
That's obviously a very disconcerting thought, and we're allowing these people into this country.
Yes.
Even still, you know.
Yes.
And the
worst kind into the country. We know the radical, and we're bringing them in. And the CIA not only is bringing them in, they're paying them. And like at Islamabad, you saw it. They're trained for the jihad, and they every year this is going on all Jalani's camps. They go from after being trained to Pakistan, and from Pakistan they go into Afghanistan. And guess what? They fight with the Taliban. They're killing our troops, and they're sponsoring them. It's going to happen, Doug.
Yeah, indeed it is, and I never understood why this was not curtailed before, but I suppose that speaks to the larger globalistic nature of the globalist
agenda. That's how I got sued up in Canada, you know. I went up there with you, with one of the most intrepid people in the world. I met you up there. When I met you up there, that's, as you know, that's what I was doing. And their reactor at McMaster, the whole place was controlled by Muslims. And anybody could have taken anything there. I walked right in there. Walk right in. I mean, there was no security, absolutely none. And as I said, it's a miracle that it hasn't happened on our in one of our major countries, but it will.
Indeed, it will. And you know, I find it so amazing, Paul, that you were sued. And folks, remember me talking about lawfare? Remember me referencing lawfare? I wasn't specific, but Dr. Paul Williams was the recipient of a legal suit. It had no merit whatsoever, but he ended up just bleeding out money.
From Canada. For something I said on the George Norrie show.
Yes.
Because of a program like this, when I'm speaking to a fellow American, the airwaves traveled into Canada, and I was sued in Canada under Canadian law.
And you... that cost you dearly. And I'm going to tell you, folks.
My publisher then, and I'm naming names, Doug, and I'm sorry to do it to you on your program, but
yeah, you can name all the names you want.
Joseph Farah, World Net Daily. He was one of my publishers. Immediately, he said, "Oh, Paul Williams, I apologize to you people up in McMaster University." What he said was not true. He didn't do any of that. Farah went down on his knees begging. I stood firm. I said, no. I was up there. I know what happened up there. And, you know, I didn't acquiesce to them. But, but going through that, Doug, is going through a firestorm. It was not fun. I have a wonderful wife who stood by me. But, I mean, these guys are getting, you're paying $500 an hour to these lawyers. The lawyers would call me up and they said, "Oh, Paul, how are you doing today? How's your wife? Are you holding up? And we want to send you an email. And, how's your daughter doing out in California?" They talk like that. I would get billed for their calls, and they called all the time. Just stupid calls. Then they would bill me for preparing an email and bill me for transmitting the email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Worse than the Muslims up there were the vampirish lawyers that I had.
It was a
horrible experience. And once again, I had to have a Canadian lawyer, and I'm a Yank, as you know. You know, I don't like the cold. I don't like Canada. I mean, I could go to Erie where, you know, Doug Hagman was. I can take that, but I can't. I don't like the cold like that. But I'm glad to live in the USA. But I once again sued under English law. Taken away my basic rights as an American citizen, and nobody coming forth. Nobody.
You know something,
congressmen, your senators, and it's
oh
like,
yeah.
You got to make sure that you're safeguarding my rights. There is nobody. They're going to try me in The Hague, Doug. In The Hague. How's that? Like people talk about the New World Order. Oh, it's really a no. The New World Order is here. And
this is why I love you because you put up a fight. you won.
The Hague.
The Hague, right? And
how's that? I mean, it is just unbelievable. So
I know.
I went through it, and you know, it made me meaner and tougher, and you know. I met a lot of good people because of it. And afterwards, you know, I was like, I think you know Rodney Howard Brown. I've been doing a lot with him. You know Rodney from the River Institute. He knows you.
Yep. I know Mr. Brown. Yep. Yes, I do. But see, what gets me, Paul, is the fact that that when this happens to people like yourself or you, suddenly you've got no friends.
I had some Christians. I was going around speaking, and some people, you're going to be surprised who helped me. Michael Savage. Okay, I was on the Savage Nation.
Right.
Are you still there, Doug?
I'm here. Yeah, I know that there's apparently a delay, but yes, we're here.
Michael Savage sent me $15,000, which was, to me at that time, a fortune. Michael Savage did that. And, you know, I'm very, very, very grateful because I'm telling you, I was, you know, I needed every dime I could get, but he was wonderful to me.
Well, I mean, the intent here, even though you won, you lost because they essentially bankrupted push you to bankrupt you. Yeah. Yeah. No one wins.
At the end of the day, you can. But, you know, even when the whole thing's over, you know, it's no longer news. So what happens to you doesn't matter. And the fact that you were sued, it gives you a black eye with publishers. Thank heaven I've still been able to be published by my same publishers who stood by me. But that's only because the sales have been good. It's not because they're such brave people. You know, my book started to lose money, I would they'd drop me in a second, too.
Well, and what I'll do is I'm going to hold this. This is one of my favorite books about Islam. Folks, if you have a chance, even if you don't have a chance, I highly recommend this book, The Day of Islam, by Dr. Paul Williams. I recommend all of his books, but look, if you want to know the inside story, inside track, about Islam, grab yourself this copy. Order it. Make this book go through the roof. I don't care. Just make and you know what? Because we need to support it. But you've got a lot of other books too, Paul.
That Gladio book, Doug. I got to send you that one. That book really. It's really traces. It began with you because I would have never have realized the deep state, or I would never have realized the shadow government if I had not followed you through. Once again to Islamberg and what was that and I went up to that mosque. You know at Best Street in Buffalo?
Oh yeah. How'd you like
I
that?
I was there too because you wrote a wonderful article about that. And I was coming back from Canada and I stopped and I was right at that place, the walls around there and the exercises they were doing. I mean there's another place you could write a book about.
Oh yeah, and I got to tell you, Paul, what people don't understand is the houses around that Best Street, 485 Best Street, Buffalo, New York. For those purists out there who want to know the address, that's the building that we're talking about, and that's the Islamic school up there. And what's happening is the Islamic Center of North America, ISNA, and their offshoots are purchasing all of the houses around that. Just kind of an FYI.
That would make sense. Yeah. What was any local law enforcement agent should have been, at least sniffing around that place.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Paul, I got to tell you, it's funny. Tom Bowerly from AM.
Yeah, I know Tom.
From WBN. Yeah. Well, yeah. Him and I, we were invited to go on a tour of that place after we had discussed it. and I had shown pictures on the local TV station. And
pictures were a riot, yeah.
Yeah, except we were disinvited because we said, we'll accept your tour, but we're not going to be guided. So we want to go where we want to go. And they said, no, well, that ain't going to happen. Anyway, but Paul, let's talk about Operation Gladio, your book. Let's talk about that because that's a great book as well.
Gladio is still going on. You know, I mean, people will wonder what is our why are we so concerned about Syria, for instance, or why are we so concerned what's going on in Turkey? It's all part of Operation Gladio. That never really stopped. It's an operation that began at the end of World War II, and it still is going on and on and on. And like, for instance, in Syria right now, it's really all comes down, as you know, to the money. At the basin of the Caspian Sea are some of the greatest natural resources in the world. Oil, natural gas, uranium, gold, you name it. But whoever gains complete control of that Caspian Sea area will control incredible wealth. The Russians are there, of course, because Russia borders the Caspian Sea. The Chinese are there. And, of course, we're there trying to create a pipeline going from Iran at the basin of the Caspian Sea through northern Iraq into Syria. So, you know, that's all part of Operation Gladio, and it really explains a lot of what's going on right now in the world, because that situation in Syria and those resources, I mean, we're not going to sit by and let the Chinese get the resources or the Russians. And it's all going to be, in the bottom line, a struggle over money, and it's going to end up in a lot of bloodshed. And once again, this is an operation. It started at the end of World War II. It's fueled. It's funded solely, Operation Gladio, by heroin. It's a CIA operation. The CIA and Edmonds and other people, and I verify this, heroin comes into the Andrews Air Force Base on U.S. military planes. It goes from Turkey to Brussels on NATO planes, comes into our country, and then it's from there. This is a CIA operation, heroin. It's distributed throughout the country, and
right.
This has been fueling and funding our black operations from the get go. Our black ops do not receive any funds from Congress. They have to come up with their own cash, and the way they came up with the cash is through the heroin industry.
Isn't that something? Of course, our war on drugs.
You have to understand that. Even when my nephews were over in Afghanistan, you know, the one thing you could do, you could not go through the poppy fields, and you couldn't destroy the poppy fields. And I mean, we're right there, and you hear all the politicians right now saying, oh, the opiate problem, how terrible it is. Well, they created the opiate problem.
They did?
And they're bringing it in.
Yep.
Your listeners should try to find out, just have them try to find out how our black operations, which are extending throughout the world, every corner of the world, how are they funded? How do you do that? How do you pay for these operatives when they're not budgeted?
Well, just take a wander through the 381 pages of Dr. Paul Williams' book, Operation Gladio, and you'll find that out. It is funded through the illicit drug trade. That's
And it was incredible because in the beginning, you know, what the CIA ended up doing with that drug money, and they were working, of course, with the mafia families, especially in New York, because they had to get distributors to. Lucky Luciano, at the end of World War II, and he was in charge of this whole thing. Walter Winchell wrote an article saying that he should receive the Medal of Honor, and he was setting up. I mean, he was setting up the drug trade for the CIA. And it has never stopped.
What can we do about it?
And I think that, and another thing is, right now, the drugs aren't just coming from Afghanistan, they're coming from Mexico. Mexico is the number one exporter of heroin to the United States in 2017. Two years ago was Afghanistan. But now we are cultivating the poppy fields. The cartels, the drug cartels, look this up. They're trained on our military bases.
Oh, yeah? Isn't that something? But yet that never makes the news. No.
Uh-uh.
No.
So,
think about that, folks.
It is a situation that I hope most Americans, or more and more Americans, would become aware of. That how we are really being controlled, and how deep the deep state is, and how nefarious it is.
Indeed. Paul, we only have about 2 minutes left, which I can't believe how quickly this has gone. Of course, it goes quicker when your electronics are messed with. But let me ask you a question. How can people help you? Where can people find you on the internet? And how can people best help
you? They can't find me. They can find me through my publisher, or they can write to the Hagman. I'm going to tell you the truth. I am weary of being, I have gone through it. If people are really interested and they want to support me, have them support the Hagman and Hagman, because that by supporting you, they're supporting me.
All right, thank you. All right, now, and also, of course, your books, from Operation Gladio to Crescent Moon Rising to the Day of Islam,
I have remarks by very good writers on the back jacket. I think one is by a guy by the name of Hagman.
A couple of words
on the back of my books.
Yes, indeed. You're a talented author. You're a tenacious investigator. You're an all-around great guy. Paul, I'm going to call you off air, if you don't mind.
But this is, I'm sorry what happened with the telephone, but we've been, subjected to some type of attack tonight.
Absolutely. My brother, thanks for being who you are, what you do, your great work. That's what my wife says too. All right. God bless you, bro.
Catch you later, buddy.
All right. See you later. Folks, we're going to be right back with Greg Hunter. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress? Some of the bigger companies out there, would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.